Welcome to another episode of the Left of Lansing podcast with Pat Johnston. A progressive insight into Michigan's political and cultural world. And of course, an entertaining podcast designed to shine a light on how to make Michigan's political machine work for the people. Now, from the Left of Lansing headquarters, located in his attic, here's the award-winning Pat Johnston.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to another installment of Michigan's premier progressive podcast. I'm Pat Johnston. How's everyone liking the direction of the country nowadays? Everybody feeling good and rosy about the state of things and the future of the country, which, you know, is only being taken over by corporate authoritarian white supremacists, feeling good about everything? And how about all of you MAGA voters out there who said that they cared about the economy and rising costs more than anything else? Are you feeling good? Are you feeling great about this economy? Are you feeling great about the overall state of things here in this country? Well, I mean, maybe you are, because I know many of you, not all of you, but many of you are probably loving what the Trump regime is doing when it comes to terrorizing and apprehending undocumented immigrants here in the United States of America, particularly those who happen to have brown skin. And something that'll never make sense to me is how many of you allowed yourself to be brainwashed. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry, because that's the only word or description I can come up with when trying my best to understand how your one motivation or top motivation for allowing white supremacists to run the country at the benefit of the corporate oligarchy is because you developed a fear and explicit hatred for brown skin migrants. And I say that with confidence, because I didn't see the same outrage when Dear Leader, at the behest of his on-again, off-again bromance with Elon Musk, triumphantly announced how the U.S. was bringing in white South Africans last month. I didn't hear anybody complaining about that on the MAGA side of things. And that was a clue for me. It really was. It was a clue. The sad reality, though, is we know where MAGA Republicans stand on this issue of authoritarianism. We know where they stand on this issue of terrorizing undocumented immigrants. They've been fed all kinds of propaganda to fear immigrants. Unless they're white, of course. Mehdi Hassan from Zateo tweeted the following, and it's something that should anger every progressive and even every Democrat, because it's so easy to win on this issue. But Democrats choose the hard way, which is by saying really nothing on this issue. Mehdi posted, "Every elected Democrat, not just in California, but nationwide, should be on TV and radio today telling this story of how federal agents in plain clothes and unmarked cars tried to snatch first graders from an LA elementary school after they told staff that they had parental consent." He says that every Democrat should be telling the American people this story and condemning Trump's Department of Homeland Security agents for trying to round up first graders in elementary school. This is beyond disgusting, and it's un-American. But you know what? That just can't happen within some Democratic Party circles. Fighting back and using common sense for some in the Democratic Party circles is somehow an antithesis of what they believe in. I don't know what they believe in sometimes, and I'll talk about that here in a moment. Because you see, many live in fear of this regime or right-wing media, and they live in fear of the white supremacy that is on steroids. Also, you know, many Democrats live in fear of losing out on corporate cash, and that probably does top the list, I'm afraid. But this week we learned that the regime is terrorizing undocumented workers at Home Depots, okay? Which, by the way, is a stunning revelation considering how Home Depot is a big-time supporter of MAGA Republicans and Trump. Just remember that when you're watching College Game Day on ESPN this fall. Will Home Depot face any penalties for hiring undocumented workers? Something tells me no. This is all about fulfilling the passions of white supremacist Stephen Miller, who is running the white supremacist wing of the White House. The far-right tech bros are running the business side of the White House, well, and the messaging side of the White House as well. But we're seeing what happens when you don't face down authoritarianism and fascism head on. This is what happens when you try to be a mealy-mouthed, a mystery centrist out there in the Democratic Party. How does centrism fight back against fascism? Michigan State Senator and strong progressive fighter Stephanie Chang from Detroit posted the following on social media this week. She wrote, "Immigrants who are following what they are supposed to do by showing up to their immigration hearings at the courthouses are being arrested by ICE in Detroit today. This is what happens without the sensitive locations policies. This is appalling, and it's happening right here in Michigan." Senator Chang is referring to the story of ICE agents kidnapping, or I guess we're not supposed to say kidnapping, arresting five migrant workers who showed up for court hearings in Detroit. The Detroit Metro Times' Steve Kneeling writes, "Protesters began gathering outside the federal courthouse in downtown Detroit on Wednesday morning after activists witnessed agents arresting migrants when they showed up to their court hearings. Witnesses say five or six people were detained after an immigration judge dismissed their cases at the Patrick V. McNamara Federal Building. Most of them are Venezuelan, according to activists. Quote, as soon as we went into that courtroom, their cases were dismissed and changed almost immediately to expedited removal, which is a situation where the government claims that it has the right to waive much of the due process rights that we carry as citizens," says Nelson Gary, coordinator for People's Assembly, a grassroots coalition of more than two dozen Detroit-based immigration and human rights groups. So this is a tactic by the Trump regime to fast-track those brown people they don't like out of the country. Now, how it usually goes is that once an immigration judge dismisses a case, that person can then seek asylum. Aha, but how can they seek asylum if ICE can just round them up right now? You do remember, right? I mean, you remember how on the campaign trail, Trump promised that his deportation plan was to get rid of criminals only. That's what he said, just to get rid of criminals. All of the MAGA Republicans, that's all they said. I mean, how could you be unreasonable with that kind of position? Because many of us with useful brain cells knew that was not going to be the case. We've always known who Stephen Miller was. We've always known who Dear Leader Trump was. We've always known about Project 2025. We always knew that a little white supremacist like Stephen Miller by his side, mass deportation would be the policy of Dear Leader Trump. I mean, several white MAGA Republican delegates on the RNC convention floor waved around signs saying, "Mass deportations now! Mass deportations now!" I can't be the only one to remember that. And yes, look, I know it's sad that many immigrants believed or supported, and many continue to support, this new age concentration camp that the regime is currently doing to many undocumented people. Yes, it is sad that many immigrants thought, hey, Trump wasn't talking about us. MAGA Republicans aren't talking about us. If we just join them, we'll be okay. But that doesn't mean we throw them under the bus and say, ah, well, you voted the wrong way. Have fun. No, I'm going to fight for them because they are human beings. It's sickening that I have to hear over and over and over how Dear Leader is going after the criminals, like the rapists, even though immigrants commit far less crimes than U.S.-born adults. Hey, you know, there is one U.S.-born adult who's done some criming and who's a felon. Now, who could that be? But so many people have been inundated with hate-filled messaging and propaganda on Fox News, right-wing media, and also on social media that they really believe most of the people who come to this country and who work hard for very little benefits, they believe that these are the people they should fear. Again, and I know I've told you the story, but when a Christian services group in Alma, Michigan wanted to care for some undocumented children a few years ago, we had so many people in the mid-Michigan area scared for their lives. Scared for their lives over children. And I was still on the radio back in Saginaw in those days, and I asked the lead host on that station why people were so concerned and calling in every day concerned about these children. And the host told me, honestly, mind you, and he was from the right, he told me, well, Pat, I think it's just because people are afraid. People are afraid. They've been so brainwashed with hate that they can't see the truth right in front of them. I remember some 15 years or so ago having a debate with a right-wing organizer in mid-Michigan who was trying to limit how many undocumented children we would bring into Michigan. And the top reason that she gave me as to why we had to block children, undocumented children, from coming into Michigan is because they'd bring disease to Michigan. Yeah, I know. It's an old playbook that she was using. But I found that interesting because 10 years later, this same woman was probably telling everyone around her not to wear face masks during a pandemic that killed over a million people. But I digress. Michigan Advance's Casey Quinlan last year wrote, a new study shows that undocumented immigrants paid nearly $100 billion in federal, state, and local tax revenue in 2022, while many are shut out of the programs their taxes fund. The findings run counter to anti-immigrant rhetoric that undocumented immigrants are destroying social programs. In 40 states, undocumented immigrants paid higher tax rates than the top 1% of the income scale in those states, according to a study released by the Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy, a left-leaning nonprofit think tank. And those undocumented immigrants, again, are not allowed to take part in Medicaid or Social Security. And Governor Tim Walz up there in Minnesota, yeah, he said he's going to sign a bill to ensure that undocumented immigrants in Minnesota won't benefit from social programs either. In a poll by the University of Maryland Program for Public Consultation, over 60% of Michiganders last fall supported a pathway to citizenship for undocumented immigrants. 60%. Now, I wonder if that's changed because I'm having a tough time putting together how in just 9 months, a majority of Michiganders went from being sane to cheering for new age concentration camps. You'd think that at a time when Michigan can't solve its own population decline, maybe bringing in immigrants might be a way to mitigate those losses. You think? Oh, and enjoy, everyone. Enjoy paying higher costs for food and construction thanks to mass deportations. Michigan MAGA Senate Minority Leader Eric Nesbitt, who's also running for governor, exclaimed on Twitter that they indeed voted for this kind of mass deportation. And I will take him at his word. Cruelty and stupidity do take up a large chunk of the MAGA thought process. Now, I would like to thank Michigan Democratic State Representatives Lori Pohutsky of Livonia and Kerry Reingans of Ann Arbor for asking Michiganders to join the No King protests that are happening around the state and the country this Saturday, June 14th. These protests were in response to Dear Leader's North Korean-style-like military parade that's happening in D.C. on his birthday. But now these No King protests will have extra meaning after what his secret white supremacist ICE army is doing to rip apart families and communities across the United States, just as we saw happen in Los Angeles last weekend. And these protests will also be against what he and Stephen Miller really wish for, which is to send in American troops to get violent with American citizens. Nothing says authoritarianism more than that. I'll have more to say on these No King rallies in the next segment, but progressives like Representative Reingans will be on the show next week, and Representative Pohutsky, they aren't just standing up and speaking up because it's the right thing to do. They're doing it because it's the only thing to do. I can't believe we're still having to deal with these so-called centrists in the Democratic Party who can't even define what centrism is, who will then tell us that, hey, it's okay. They'll fight the regime on kitchen table issues and just kitchen table issues alone. But that's the only front they're willing to really battle on. And they'll also tell us that it's impossible to fight Trump and it's also impossible to fight MAGA Republicans on all fronts. They'll tell you about the impossible all of the time. Progressive writer Oliver Willis on his Substack, Oliver Willis Explains, is exactly correct when he wrote, we are in an ideological war with the American right. They are attacking everything good and right about America and are trying their damnedest to drag us back to the Stone Age when women, minorities, and LGBTQ people were a subordinate slave class to the whims of wealthy, straight, white men. These things aren't distractions, they are fronts. America fought war on two fronts during World War II, taking on the Axis powers in the European and Pacific theaters. There wasn't any choice in the matter. There are no such things, everyone, as distractions when it comes to this regime. And Oliver is spot on when he says you can't choose to fight on this front or on that front or on this topic or that topic, because once you make that choice, then you've lost ground. You have to fight everywhere. And that's why it is simply unconscionable for so-called centrists like Michigan Democratic Congresswoman Kristen McDonald Rivett and Haley Stevens, who's running for the U.S. Senate seat here in Michigan, by the way, and also Michigan Democratic Congressman Sri Tandahar, to have voted for a MAGA House Republican bill that expressed gratitude to ICE agents. What? What? So here's my question for Michigan Democrats Haley Stevens, Sri Tandahar, and Kristen McDonald Rivett. How has going to this mysterious middle quelled Dear Leader Trump's and Stephen Miller's desires to terrorize immigrants with white supremacists and masks? Really, think about it. All this centrism, all this what you call common sense, how is that stopping this country from marching further and further to the right where we are right now, which is authoritarianism? I asked this question especially for McDonald Rivett and her fellow Michigan Democratic centrist, Senator Alyssa Slotkin, since they recently held a town hall last week explaining how they will soon have a battle plan to fight back against the regime's authoritarianism. Well, I mean, that's nice, I suppose. I mean, the people have already moved on from you guys since you've been slow from the get-go to realize what the rest of us already knew we were up against. Kristen McDonald Rivett and Alyssa Slotkin voted for the Laken Riley Act, and I wanted to remind you about that one because that further removed due process for undocumented people in the country, and they believe by voting with the authoritarian regime on this issue that maybe this would make them look tough and that they get credit for MAGA voters or something like that. Maybe they thought they'd be able to be reasonable with white supremacists. I don't know. Don't know how you can be reasonable with white supremacists. But I know it ain't working. And you know one reason why it's not working? Because centrism, or so-called centrism, has no values. Zero, zilch, nada. As author of the How Things Work Substack, Hamilton Nolan, also a good friend of this podcast, he wrote the following last week regarding centrism, or the mysterious middle, as I call it. And this is what he said. The reason the Democratic Party is so profoundly unpopular today is that people do not know what it stands for. There is simply no way to change this by saying, we will ask you all what you liked yesterday and do that tomorrow. In their pursuit of statistically bulletproof popularism, the centrists have their heads so deep in data that it is impossible for them to have a vision. And that lack of vision is the very thing that turns off the public. This is a political problem that is unsolvable by polling. It requires actual beliefs. The right wants to change the existing power structure to give more power to its chosen groups. The left wants to change the existing power structure to give more power to everyone, including the marginalized, who are, by definition, unpopular. The centrists, in the most generous reading, their project asks, how much good can we do without changing the existing power structure at all? Turns out the answer is not much, but there's plenty of money to be had in pretending to try. Right on. Hamilton is right on there saying there's a lot of money in pretending to try to really fix things for these centrists, considering how corporations bankroll them to the extent that they do. There's no incentive for these corporate centrists to actually help people. You see, keeping the status quo is what these centrists want. And we wonder why working class people end up feeling so much despair that they turn to far right-wing populism, which leads them down this rabbit hole of hate and resentment towards the others that they blame for their struggles. And it's sad that that kind of messaging and propaganda from MAGA Republicans and from these MAGA tech bros, it is sad that this kind of propaganda works on a good number of them because those people don't care about working class people. It's all about divide and conquer, and that's all they are doing to us. Democrats must do a better job at shedding this nebulous and unicorn-like dream of a mysterious middle, because by taking that position, you are helping to kill people. Literally killing people. This brings me now to the idea of masculinity here for a second. I know this is something I covered with author Joan C. Williams last week as we discussed her new book called Outclassed, How the Left Lost the Working Class and How to Win Them Back. And it is really a good book. And I agree with a lot of what she had to say. But I'd like to play this part from our interview last week in which I really did give it a lot of thought this past week. And so it's about 2.5 minutes long. So just listen to what she had to say.
I mean, what the thread I'd like to pick up, Pat, is the idea that misogyny is at work. I think masculinity is it work? What the research shows is that when men's masculinity is threatened, they tend to double down on masculinity. I mean, there's a wonderful social science experiment where they bring people into the lab and they tell one group of guys that they're kind of masculine, but also kind of feminine. So masculinity threat. And they found those guys were much more likely to support wars. They wanted to buy huge cars. They just wanted to prove, yeah, I'm masculine, I'm masculine. And I think that a lot of men's masculinity feels threatened. And this goes back to the ties between culture and economics. Why do non-college men often feel threatened? Well, there is the fact that if wages had continued to rise when productivity did, like they did after World War II, wages would be 43% higher than they are today. And in the 15 years before Trump was first elected, that accounted for three-fourths of the decline in that post-World War II decline of wages. And during that same period, nearly all net job growth was in gig work and short-time work. In other words, no prospects, often no benefits. Since 1989, wages have risen 83% for college grads. But you know what? For non-college grads, they've risen hardly at all. And so the result of all of this, basically that workers are not receiving a fair share of productivity, is really the loss of the American dream for many families. Nearly all Americans used to do better than their parents. But of those born in 1980, it's just about an even shot whether you're going to earn more than your parents. And many, many men, no matter what their class level, their identity is very tied up with being a provider. And the level of inequality now in the United States is so high that not only do low-income men feel like they can't be providers, but these middle status voters, the middle 50%, and those are the ones that are flocking to the far right, both in Europe and America, these middle status voters, they feel that they're not going to be able to be providers either.
So I shared some opinions on this masculinity idea last week, and where I got where Professor Williams was coming from and maybe where I had a different point of view. But we are in some serious trouble if men think that they can only be men by laughing at the cruel punishment of others, particularly when they won't benefit one bit since they're not part of the tech bro culture. They're not part of the corporate oligarchy. They're not Trump's kind of people. They think that they are, but then ask yourselves, why aren't you guys ever invited to Mar-a-Lago? Now, it's true that people with college degrees make more money, which is why everyone that Dear Leader surrounds himself with are elite Ivy League school graduates. Now, those without degrees used to earn more money. That's true, but now have been losing money thanks to extreme tax cuts for Trump and Elon's crowd, and also thanks to the extreme losses in union representation, which corporate politicians, including Trump, have been pushing for a very, very long time. And of course, as Joan C. Williams and I discussed last week, neoliberal policies like NAFTA and other horrible trade deals left a lot of people and left their towns gone with the wind. But despite all that, being a man isn't about being cruel or belittling those who aren't like you, or believing that a real man is by behaving like a clownish jerk, or a real man is not someone who hides under a face mask while terrorizing families. Being a man is figuring out how you're getting played by these Ivy League million and billionaires who continue to play culture wars to divide all of us. They get richer, you get poorer. They gain more power, you have less. And once men realize this and then join us for a real working class change, then they'll be able to understand that masculinity is about helping all of those around us. The people are indeed fed up. They are. And we have to let them know that MAGA Republicans and these corporate centrists all led us down this path. There's a new path to take. It's a progressive path towards prosperity and inclusion. And it's about making this a more perfect union. You think this regime cares about making this a more perfect union? You think? You're listening to LOL.
Hey,
He spent nearly 25 years working as a liberal voice in conservative talk radio across the state, and he's still a somewhat stable person. It's the Left of Lansing podcast with Pat Johnston. You can find archives of the podcast, plus Pat's musings on other topics in written form at leftoflansing.com. Left of Lansing archives are available wherever you get your podcasts. And now Left of Lansing is available on YouTube. We'd like to thank Audio Boom for distributing all our episodes so we can share progressive, otherwise known as common sense, values across Michigan and the country. Now, here's Pat Johnston.
And let me know what you think of the show by emailing me, leftoflansing@gmail.com. Follow me on Blue Sky and Twitter and also on the Facebook. Subscribe to the show on the YouTube as I am back to filming videos there, and it's content that you won't just hear on the podcast. That's on YouTube. Just type in Left of Lansing and you'll find me there. Coming up in the last call, Michigan House Republicans unveiled their education budget. And if you had low expectations going in, you'll have even lower expectations after I tell you more about it. And I forgot to mention how in another authoritarian move or wish list, Dear Leader and MAGA Republicans this week said that they want to make burning the American flag a criminal offense. Of course they do. These guys really don't believe in freedom of speech and that whole First Amendment thing. Now, maybe we could make it a crime to hang the American flag upside down at your house, meaning that a Supreme Court justice would have to go to jail for defaming the flag. Huh? What do you think about that one? And still, these are also the same people who are fighting to rename certain places with Confederate soldiers' names and who also carry around the Confederate flag. Are you kidding me? What a joke these people really are. But as I said during the last segment, Dear Leader's holding this little parade on Saturday in D.C., but many good Americans are choosing to use their time more productively and wisely. And that's by protesting everything this regime supposedly stands for, which is greed, corruption, white supremacy, the billionaires, the elites, and the corporate class, while trashing the working class. There are rallies set up all across the nation for people to voice and show their dismay and outright refusal to simply sit back while this nation slips further and further into authoritarianism. These rallies are called the No Kings Rally, and there are many places across Michigan where you can find one. And it's a great idea considering how much the American people are quickly jumping ship and even having regrets for backing this regime. A new Quinnipiac poll reveals that 54% of America disapproves of Dear Leader, while just 38% approve. The MAGA murder budget is also doing awful with the American people, as 53% oppose it, while just 27% approve. And now you know why MAGA Republicans in Congress are trying to ram the MAGA murder budget through as fast as possible, and why they refuse to hold any town halls over this bill. But even worse for Dear Leader and the regime, 54% oppose his immigration policies, while 43% approve of them. Now, that's still kind of awful that 43% are so happy at seeing masked white guys going around and ripping families apart and are also very, very giddy and happy with the regime's concentration camps. But still, it just goes to show that mass deportations were always going to be heavily, heavily unpopular because maybe as a collective, Americans don't hate immigrants. That's what I believe. And that's why these rallies and these demonstrations are so important to show the rest of the country and the world that a majority of us are against the direction of the country. Now, I will say this for everyone attending the No Kings rallies. Bring your American flags to the rallies, along with signs and everything else. Show MAGA and show everyone that we're the true patriots and that we stand up for marginalized people, that we stand up for the freaking Constitution of the United States. Now, this isn't a commentary on what happened in L.A. last weekend with some people waving the Mexican flag. That was meant to show solidarity for their heritage, and I have no problem with that. I do have problems with MAGA Republicans criticizing Mexican flags in the L.A. protests. And by the way, that's what a majority of happened there. It was just a protest. But these are the same people. These MAGA Republicans are the same people who fly around Trump flags. In fact, I even drive by some houses with the flagpoles where the Trump flag is above the American flag. And these are also the same people who fly around Confederate flags, and they're calling themselves the true patriots? I mean, these are the same people who carried a Confederate flag when they held an insurrection at the United States Capitol. Confederates, I hate to remind some people, were anti-American. They were the enemy, and they were pro-slavery. No wonder they want to get rid of African-American history at universities and colleges, and also in public schools. Which is why it's so on point and so perfectly illustrates the white supremacist thinking inside the regime, as Dear Leader wants to name bases after Confederate soldiers and generals like Robert E. Lee. These people claim to love America while they celebrate the white supremacists who fought a war against their country because their country was through with slavery. So, you see, we progressives actually believe in the promise of what America can do, while MAGA Republicans believe in authoritarianism and lawlessness. That's why American flags or hats or shirts or what have you should be present at all of these No Kings rallies. It's our government and it's our country, and we're fighting for it too. Don't let these MAGA clowns steal the flag from us, all right? Now, there are all kinds of rallies happening across Michigan, as I said, this Saturday, June 14th. And for instance, our good friends from Traverse Indivisible and Leelanau Indivisible are holding a No Kings rally at the Government Center on Boardman Avenue in Traverse City from noon to 3. As they say, this family-friendly celebration will honor the true spirit of Flag Day by bringing people together, fostering community, and providing a platform for voices to be heard. That's American. That's Americanism right there. Indivisible North Oakland will take part in a rally with other Indivisible groups at the Mill Pond Park Gazebo in Fenton from noon to 1:30 p.m. on Saturday. And there's a rally happening in Ann Arbor from 3 to 4 p.m. on Liberty Avenue. There's one at Clark Park in Detroit from 1 to 4 p.m. Livonia, Bay City, Grand Rapids, Ionia, Novi, Dearborn, Brighton, and Escanaba are all holding rallies. And there's one happening in Lansing on Capitol Avenue beginning at noon. Over 70 cities across Michigan are holding rallies while Dear Leader spends around, I don't know, some $50 to $90 million of taxpayer money to pay for his little show. Over 70 cities. That is pretty remarkable. And a lot of this is being done strictly by volunteers. This is grassroots. This is American. Oh, and I have to mention this because my MAGA Michigan State Senator, Roger Hawk, well, he tweeted the following about the rally that's happening in Lansing this Saturday. And he tweeted, "There is an anti-Trump protest scheduled for Lansing on Saturday. I strongly urge Dana Nessel and Governor Whitmer to ensure that there is enough law enforcement present to stop any violence immediately." You see, Roger Hawk is someone who encapsulates exactly what Michigan MAGA Republicans really are all about, and more importantly, what motivates them. And what motivates them is owning libs. He has no solutions for the working class. He has no solutions for the people, and that includes those he represents in Mid-Michigan. But Roger Hawk illustrates the hypocrisy since, one, L.A. wasn't burning down despite what his brain vacuum machine known as Fox News told him, and two, like progressive activist and friend of the show Joe Spalding said in response to Roger, don't forget it was MAGA who brought guns into the state capitol back in 2020, and I'll go further, it was MAGA at that rally who brandished Confederate flags. Roger Hawk should consider attending the rally, actually, so he can see how the people are rejecting his authoritarian party, and maybe he'll actually get an understanding of where his constituents are. I'm providing a link to a map where you can find the closest rally near you, and I'm looking at all these rallies in two ways. One, it'll serve as a huge reminder to the regime and MAGA Republicans that the people are angry with authoritarianism, corruption, and the selling out of the working class. But two, it'll serve as a little reminder to some Democrats out there that the people are begging for fighters, and to those who want to remain silent during these times, well, they will be viewed as accomplices to what is going on here when all is said and done. The No Kings rally is being held this Saturday at a place near you. Not only is it a way to join up with other like-minded people, but it's a way to show solidarity in numbers. And it's a way to show that the people want change, progressive change, something drastically different from the present course that we're on. The backlash, everyone, is at hand.
A podcast that believes in using common sense to move Michigan into the future. And by common sense, we mean progressive sense. We've all seen what 40 years of Republican leadership did to this state, and we refuse to go back. It's Left of Lansing with Pat Johnston. You can follow Pat on Facebook or X. Pat still calls it Twitter. Or on the Gram, Threads, and also on YouTube. Subscribe to the show on YouTube and wherever else you listen to your podcasts. All right, I think we gave Pat enough time to catch his breath. Let's get back to it. Here's Pat Johnston.
You know, I cannot wait to see how many people are going to turn out this Saturday. And, you know, it looks like it's not going to be too hot or too cool if the weather forecasts are correct. It is Michigan, after all. Time now for the Left of Lansing last call. Well, the expected happened. MAGA Michigan State House Republicans unveiled their education budget. And here's a shock to everyone. They're slashing and gutting funding and programs for public schools. And here's another shock. They're trying to funnel that money over to private schools and colleges. I know. Stunning revelation. Now, Republicans say they're adding to the per pupil funding for each student, which looks good on paper until you look at some of the details. Now, their uneducated budget includes cuts in, the free school lunch program, which is highly successful and which also helps the working class families throughout Michigan. But again, when a MAGA Republicans ever really cared about the working class. As we've talked about here a few times, MAGA Republicans despise free lunches in public schools because that program is popular and they can't have that if they're trying to funnel money to their private school donors, you see. And on top of that, they're cutting mental health funding for schools and funding for at-risk students. And meanwhile, they'll use those cuts to funnel some $40 million to private institutions. Now, it's against the state constitution to use taxpayer money on private schools, but as we know with MAGA Republicans, constitutions can be ignored. Look, I've never had issues with people sending their kids to private schools. It's your kid. Do what you want. But don't ask me to pay for their education, which they can get from my taxpayer money going to public schools. And next week, I'll bring up how Republicans are gutting funding towards our higher institutions, except that they're adding funding for private colleges. How? How's that happening? Oh, and they're threatening to gut even more funding for public universities if they use DEI programs, too. See, everyone, by not fighting for marginalized Americans, we get this. This is what we're getting now, which is what these white nationalists or white supremacists or white Christian nationalists always wanted. So Republicans are saying they're adding more money to the overall school budget, right? But this all comes with the caveat for schools. As Michigan Advances Ben Solis writes, it would also come with a 20% foundation allowance penalty if districts were non-compliant with proposed boilerplate language prohibiting race, gender, and DEI instruction or initiatives. That includes any curriculum. That includes supposed race or gender stereotyping, that's in quotations, allowing transgender girls to participate in girls' sports, or providing multi-stalled unisex bathrooms. Ah, yes, there it is. Whatever it takes to erase the history of certain people, or erase whatever it takes to try to even, by a little bit, equal the playing fields for some marginalized people. And, of course, they just love to put a scarlet letter on transgender girls. Again, we had two transgender students play sports in Michigan high schools, okay? Two. But this, according to MAGA Republicans, is a major, major issue. Let me ask this for all you parents out there who are listening. Look up a picture of Man-Baby State House Speaker Matt Hall, please. Look up that picture and then ask yourselves this question. Would you trust your child in a bathroom with Matt Hall lurking? Besides, he is the one who wants to check your child's genitals. Just look at that picture and tell me you'd be safe with your child in a bathroom with Matt Hall.
You're listening to the Left of Lansing podcast. The music you're hearing is by Wander Beats. To hear the latest project, check out Space Leopard on your favorite streaming site. Now back to our favorite progressive voice in Michigan. It's Pat Johnston.
Well, that's going to do it for this edition of the Left of Lansing. I will provide a link so you can check out where the nearest No Kings rally is taking place, and I hope you'll be able to attend. You'll find it wherever you're catching this podcast and also on my YouTube page. Coming up next week, Progressive Democratic State Representative Carrie Reingans from Ann Arbor will be on, and I wonder if we'll have things to talk about. I'm not sure, but we'll try. And I have to say this, I live by this axiom. It's never consistently warm in Michigan until June 15th. And it appears that'll be the case once again after this weekend. But it still looks like it's going to be nice here this weekend. Be careful at all the rallies on Saturday. And happy Father's Day to all the dads out there, including my dad. Go Tigers. And remember, take the battle to them. Thank you, Michigan.
The Left of Lansing podcast was produced by Pat Johnston, written by Pat Johnston, researched by Pat Johnston, edited by Pat Johnston, and hosted by, yes, Pat Johnston. Technical assistance by Dr. Heather. And thanks to our good friend Kirsten for the awesome podcast logo. Remember to visit leftoflansing.com for more news and information. Thanks again for listening to the Left of Lansing podcast.